Thank you for joining the Path audiobook series, where we follow the life of Neo, an African girl who navigates the challenges and obstacles in her path of purpose. This is an autobiographical fiction by Dr. Muthoni Omuhango, and we hope you learn great lessons to apply in your life's journey towards becoming. Today's chapter, If God Does, Then I Will, is brought to you by Book Programs by CLC Kenya. These are online and offline programs and courses that cover practical Christian living for believers in all areas of their lives. These programs are designed for individuals seeking to deepen their understanding of the Bible, enhance their day-to-day skills in line with God's Word, and grow in their faith.
Neo's If God Does, Then I Will moment came around the time of graduating from university. God had kept his part to have her finish her degree program. She had held menial jobs throughout the university years and received help in all unlikely places to finish her education, by the mercies and help of God. Neo's heart swelled with pride as she walked out of the university gates after her last exams. The weight of 4 challenging years was lifted from her shoulders. The echoes of financial struggles were drowned out by the overwhelming joy, replaced with the melody of accomplishment. The degree wasn't just paper, it was a testament to resilience, determination, and the triumph over adversity, just like her sister Kano's high school experience.
"University education is completed, hooray!"
Neo exclaimed in excitement. Upon donning the cap and gown at her university graduation, she swiftly transitioned into a new chapter by moving in with her boyfriend, David. As the academic milestones unfolded for her classmates, internships, promising job offers, and the pursuit of advanced degrees, she found herself on a distinctive path. While some peers embarked on professional journeys, others delved into the depths of academia, aiming for master's degrees and then PhDs. The vision of attaining a doctoral degree before turning 30 had ignited a passionate flame within Neo since she was a child, but the unpredictable course of life was drawing an alternative map. She embraced the unexpected turns with hope. Life, it seemed, had a narrative of its own, and her journey was shaping up to be a unique story filled with twists and turns. As she settled into the new rhythm of living with David, she reflected on the diverging paths her classmates were taking. The allure of scholarly pursuits lingered, and the dream of a PhD still flickered in the corners of her mind. She asked God if he could help her with a doctorate before 30, but she did not feel any response from him. David lived in Kitale, a town that was 73 kilometers from Eldoret. It was an agricultural town in the northern Rift Valley, situated between Mount Elgon and the Chirangani Hills. It was the largest town in the area and Trans-Nzoia's administrative capital. In this town, with the blessings of their parents, Neo and David were ready to start the married life and make it work for the sake of Amo's stability. In the quiet corners of their shared home, Neo felt an unsettling distance growing between her and God. She had made so much progress in the last years of university. However, since she had married David, a man whose beliefs veered away from the spiritual path she had once walked, the echoes of her faith seemed to again fade into the background. David, with his charm and persuasive reasoning, led Neo into a world where the spiritual seemed replaced by the temporal. Sunday services became sporadic, prayers whispered in solitude, and the sacred moments of reflection transformed into fleeting memories. As their lives intertwined, Neo found herself caught in the currents of compromise, subtly drifting from the steadfast anchor of her faith. The subtle erosion of her spiritual foundation left Neo grappling with a void that only deepened over time. The vibrant connection to God she had started to build, asking God for signs and him proving himself to her, was overshadowed by the influence of a man who, though dear to her heart, seemed to be pulling her away from the sanctuary of her convictions. Neo wrestled with an inner conflict. Her soul longed for the familiar embrace of spiritual comfort, yet the delicate dance of compromise and sacrifice within their relationship made it challenging to reclaim that connection with God. At the end of that year, Neo fell on her knees before God and asked him to bring her back fully into his fold. She did not want to be half in and half out, she wanted all in. She wanted to fully commit herself to serving God and following his plan for her life. She knew that if she surrendered everything to him, he would guide her and provide the reassurance and direction she needed. It was a turning point in her faith journey, from which she never looked back. In her bedroom by herself, she had a tingling feeling that her life was going to be turned upside down, in both a good and bad way. She had a sound mind to make sound judgments. There are things ingrained in all human beings as a compass to know right and wrong. She was excited to see how God was going to do it for her, but she was also afraid and anxious to see what he would cause her to leave behind. Overwhelmed by a deep conviction, Neo decided to say the sinner's prayer.
Dear Lord Jesus, I come before you with a repentant heart, acknowledging my sins and shortcomings. I am sorry for the mistakes I've made and the ways I have fallen short of your glory. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again, conquering death. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I surrender my life to you, inviting you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Wash away my sins with your precious blood, and fill me with your Holy Spirit. I am grateful for your grace and mercy. Transform me from the inside out, and help me to live a life that honors and glorifies you. Thank you for your love and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
As she whispered the words, a profound warmth enveloped her, and a light seemed to break through the darkness that had clouded her soul. A newfound peace settled within her. The weight she had carried for so long lifted, making room for joy and hope. A few minutes after this prayer, Neo received a call from Pastor Ken from the town church. She had not talked to him and his wife Maria for over a year.
"Where are you nowadays, Neo?"
Pastor Ken asked over the phone. Instead of telling him of her location, Neo responded to a question he had not asked.
"Pastor Ken, I am struggling to find my original path in God. I got married knowing very well that it was not God's plan for me. I want to get back to God-ordained path for me, but I don't know how to."
"Please come home. God wants you back."
In that statement, Pastor Ken meant Neo needed to go back to Eldoret but more so focus on her relationship with God. Pastor Ken informed Neo that he and Maria had been praying for her for about a week, and God wanted to redeem her back to himself. This was a sign to Neo that God was still in control of her life. Why would he put her in the hearts of people she had not seen or spoken to in years? From that conversation, she got the reassurance she needed. God loved her, and he was still with her, watching over her to perform his promises to her. On that same day, she got the strength to get out of the marriage relationship she was in that was her greatest hindrance to her faith in God. She did not expect the Lord to act right away. She was hoping for some form of smooth and gradual transition over a long period of time, spanning several months at the very least. But no, there was no Prince of Persia resisting the angel sent to bring her answers, like in the case of Daniel in Babylon. The angel came to her right away via the expressway. Or perhaps the angel had always been there with the answers, waiting for her to be ready to receive them. Whatever the case, at the end of that week, Neo was on her way to start a new life with a suitcase carrying a 3-day change of clothes. She had left everything behind, and she was back at square one. She spent the next 4 months crying before God at her younger sister, Kano's house in Eldoret, while her mother took care of her baby for a short while. The darkness that had engrossed her life was too much for her to see any light at the end of the tunnel. Neo allowed herself the luxury of tears. Each droplet was a release, a cathartic surrender to the weight she had carried for so long. Days turned into nights, and gradually, the darkness that had enveloped her soul started to recede. As the weeks passed, Neo discovered strength within vulnerability and resilience within tears. The struggle had shaped her, but it didn't define her. With each passing day, she inched closer to healing, realizing that the end of one chapter was the beginning of a brighter, more resilient Neo. Perhaps she was just in the middle of the tunnel, and there was another long way before she could come anywhere close to the end. During those 4 months, she sought solace in prayer and reflection, desperately searching for a glimmer of hope to guide her through the darkness. Each day felt like an eternity as she grappled with the uncertainty of her future and the weight of starting over from scratch. But if she was in God's perfect will, which she knew she was at that time, why was life still too hard? She would think that life would be good for her because she was now obeying him. Questions echoed in her mind like distant whispers, challenging the very essence of her faith. She sought solace in the scriptures, searching for answers that could bridge the gap between divine purpose and earthly struggles. In the stillness of prayer, Neo grappled with the tension between obedience and adversity. The notion that lines would fall in pleasant places seemed elusive, almost mocking her in the face of challenges. Yet, deep down, she clung to a flicker of belief, trusting that God's plan was unfolding, even if obscured by the shadows of hardship. As days unfolded, each trial became a crucible, refining her understanding of divine will and testing the depths of her trust. Unknown to her, in the midst of her life's struggles, seeds of return to purpose were sprouting, laying the foundation for a future where the pleasant places she longed for would be realized in unexpected ways. One day she told God,
"If you get me back to a life of purpose and fulfillment, I will serve you wholeheartedly with no reservations."
She made the prayer as an innocent vow at that time without thinking through what that meant. She did not consider her desire to build an empire against God's word that he had called her to be a prophet to the nations, to preach his gospel globally, and to train and empower pastors. At that moment, all she desired was purposeful living, not caring what the interpretation would look like. Her Bethel altar was set up as a memorial, the oath was made, and the covenant was sealed like in Jacob's case. Little did she know that her innocent vow would lead her away from a path of worldly success, her business empire and her bullion bank, far from her desired outcome.
We hope you enjoyed this story. We express our gratitude for following yet another episode of the Path audiobook series. Join us for the next chapter, Frank and Benta's Divine Help. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review at www.kenyaclc.org or on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Spotify, and other audio platforms of your choice. The social media handle is at CLC Kenya. If you have missed a step with God today, may He forgive any choices that may have led you away from His purpose. May God surround you with His loving presence and let His Spirit speak to the depths of your soul, reminding you of His unwavering love and purpose for your life. May the good Lord grant you the strength to turn away from distractions and temptations and to wholeheartedly surrender to His will. May He provide clarity and direction so that you may walk confidently in the path He has prepared for you.